This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure. Oh, glory, glory, oh, glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us, sick religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what it is that you're doing at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, do, and you decided to do that, do with me. I have in studio with me this morning a local writer, right? You know, I've been doing this thing with the orange economy because they continue to talk about the orange economy and all of the value that's in it and all of the things that are possibly going to make the orange economy thrive. And the truth of the matter is there's quite a bit of material already circulating in the Bahamian population. There are any number of songwriters, any number of book writers, any number of poets, any number of written pieces by Bahamians all across the length and breadth of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, some of them more known, some of them less known. And so the truth is, we've got to figure out a way to now compose it all so that we give people that already have written material an opportunity to have their written material seen, read, or heard by people that will then turn around and decide whether or not that is internationally consumable, domestically consumable, and what is the price pitch or price point, and how exactly do we sell it to the world to ensure that when people create these kinds of material, they have an avenue to not just have them as keepsakes, you know. And that's a lot of people that are going to involve themselves artistically are going to have to understand or have had to understand up to this point that largely what they do isn't seen as an art or as a craft. People actually think that they do this stuff as a hobby. And so that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here, right? I'm trying to see if I can evoke the spirit of inclusion from a governmental standpoint, from an investor standpoint, from whatever standpoint is necessary, so that we, as a population, become more and more accustomed to the practice of wanting to read, wanting to hear, wanting to know, wanting to see, wanting to feel the expressions that are artistic, but not just those sensory reactions, you know. I also want to get us to the point where we want to pay, Because I feel like ultimately that is where it all ends, or where it all should end. And it all matters not unless you can get people to pay for it. All right? And so I have with me this morning writer Dave Nimoy. He's my guest this morning. And we're talking about his book, The Legacy and Influence of Mr. Joseph Spence, A Unique Bahamian Story. It is a book largely about the things or the goings on in Andros, how Mr. Joseph Spence was able to influence a lot of the culture in Andros, a lot of the things that have happened in Andros. Of course, I think Mr. Nimoy himself is a boy from Love Hill, if I'm not mistaken. And so we're talking about it, all right? I'm going to open the lines in case you want to talk to him. The number is 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. My text line is 422-4796. That line is open as well. You can please text me on that if you have any questions for Mr. Dave Nimoy. Mr. Nimoy, welcome to Unleashed. Good morning.
Good morning to you and to my listening audience.
Okay. So you have written, is this your first book?
Technically, it's the second.
Okay.
The first was not so important. It was actually a coloring book. Yeah.
That you actually... What inspired you to make a coloring book, though? Like when you get up and decide, I'm going to be the author of a book, or I'm going to create a book, what makes you want to create a coloring book?
Okay, let me begin by saying that it happened in 2009, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that persons only talk about Spence when there was a special occasion or when something unique happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was not this constant... talking about conversation surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about it and I wanted to make it a permanent fixture per se, where mm-hmm. persons would begin to, either by photos or by words,
mm-hmm.
begin a longer conversation,
mm-hmm.
Can read, have something tangible in which to refer to go to, as opposed to just hearing about him, you know, once a year or twice a year.
Okay.
So I want to make it a permanent fixture, and I started with the coloring book.
Okay. Why Joseph Spence? I mean, there are any number of things that you could have arguably talked about. You know, largely people consider Andros, they think about the folk, the Babuki and the Barabi,
yeah.
and that kind of thing. Those are the things that are associated naturally when you hear Andros. You instantly think about those things. What made you so enamored by the man, Joseph Spence?
Wow. Wonderful question.
Mm.
I wanted to... engage in an eco-lodge. I wanted to build an eco-lodge. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted a place where persons can come and indulge in the local environment, enjoy the scenery of the beaches or whatever, the birds and the local flora and fauna.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of a name that would captivate the project. Or
mm-hmm.
when persons hear the name, they would say, oh, yeah, Andros.
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with Joseph Spence because I realized that nobody was using the name. It was only a name used once a year or twice a year or whenever somebody prompts a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I persisted. Well,
what was your fascination, though? I mean, what fascinated
well,
you?
Well, I actually started there.
Okay.
And then I went on to, you know, I wanted to know a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And I began going online. I began listening to the music and what have you. And I realized that Joseph Spence, beneath that, or... beneath that surface,
mm-hmm.
That simple surface, I realized that there was a unique person and a genius, per se,
mm-hmm.
a man who was filled with information, filled with knowledge, and I began researching, and I realized that Joseph Spence was actually a genius.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, you know, and I coined the phrase that how could a man appear so simple, but yet in the eyes of those who know him, very profound.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to Taj Mahal and Rai Kuda and the Grateful Dead, but most of them are dead today,
mm-hmm.
You'd realize that these men revere him. These men loved him because the kind of music he made was just beautiful.
Mm.
And it was simple but complicated.
Mm.
And that's what got me about him. He appeared simple,
mm-hmm.
but he was a very complicated person. Because
mm.
And more than likely, he couldn't read or write.
Really?
I came to that conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't. But he knew music.
Mm.
Those 30 seconds, 64, 116 notes, he knew he could play them.
Mm-hmm.
However, whoever inspired him, of course, God did. I certainly believe it. And some said, the legend said that the spirits of Andros, you
mm-hmm.
know, what have you. But he did it wonderfully and he did it well.
Now, his music was an interesting kind of music. I listened to a little bit of it. It reminds me of, do you remember J.J., Brother J.J.?
Stubbs, yes, I remember Brother J.J.
Yeah, yeah. So when I hear Joseph Spence's music, I think in my era of a J.J. Stubbs.
You would have heard it by him, a J.J. Stubbs.
Yeah.
You would have heard it through him.
Right. I think that is the closest resemblance.
Yes, absolutely. Because I was about 12, 13.
Yeah, but J.J. was 15 and 40, wasn't it?
Yeah, 40. We would stay up late at night because he'd come on at midnight.
J.J. comes on at midnight.
And his preamble would be Joseph Spence. And boy, we would laugh ourselves to sleep. Mm-hmm. And if he came on, he didn't play Joseph Spence, we would actually get mad. Mm-hmm. You know, we would be furious, like, you need to play. And, the music was funny. Mm-hmm. We didn't realize the extent or the depth of his music. All we knew that it was funny, mm-hmm. it was joyful, it was laughable, but it was soothing, it was nice, it was wonderful. It made you smile, it made you fell in love with him, mm-hmm. the man, the legend.
Now, you have a pretty short read right here. It's about 100 pages long.
Yes.
What are some of the things that goes into the planning, the laying out of a book, deciding that you want to write a book? You know, I tell people I have at least two books in my head. I just can't put them on paper. I have the chapters. I have the text. I have the only thing they ain't is on paper. That's it. But the books are in my head, right? Like I have one book in my head called Rules of the Game. I know what the cover page is going to look like. I know what the back page is going to look like. It's just not on paper, right? So when you sit down and begin to conceptualize writing a book, getting information, finding sourced information, because a lot of it will be before your time,
particularly
when you begin to epitomize a human. You have to go and talk to the people that have actually walked with the human.
Yes.
And what is also curiously interesting is that a lot of times you talk to people that have possibly walked with the now legend, and they weren't aware that they were walking with a legend. A lot of times I ask people the question, do you ever knew, and I think I asked this to Dame Marguerite Penling. Did you meet Dame Marguerite Penling? Like, at what point did you say to yourself, you know something, my life is a bit different, right?
Yes.
And it's because as far as you are aware, you just living your life. You waking up every day, you being Dave. You ain't doing nothing special.
You just being Dave.
Yeah. I imagine the same is to be said for people like Joseph Spence. He just woke up every day and he's just being Joseph.
Did what he did.
The people around him was just
being them.
They was just being them along with Joseph.
Right.
You look at the work, though, and then you say to yourself, Dave Nimoy comes 40 years later and says to himself, man, what this guy was doing was phenomenal. I want to write this. What are your challenges, the most major challenges that you face when you begin to conceptualize actually putting it into literature?
Well, let me start by saying this. I never sat out to write a book.
Okay.
I always wanted to be a writer. Even in high school, I wrote a lot and I wrote beautiful poems and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would be a writer, but I never sat out to write about anything or anybody. But there was something special about Joseph Spence. And like I told you earlier, that I realized that people were only mentioning his name at special occasions.
Okay.
I wanted to make it permanent, where a child can go somewhere in a library or somewhere and reference a book and, you know, have a book right there that they can read and research, as opposed to going online and, you know, to web to try to put pieces together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did too.
Okay.
I actually stitch it all together, but I tried my best to make it flow genuinely and sequentially, that it make good sense.
Okay.
But I never sat out to write, and I had to learn all the rules of writing, and I still haven't perfected it as yet. So I started from the cover. I got Earl Bethel to do the graphics for me. And then I began working on the inside, where I started the storyline. And as we went along, we attached the graphics to the storyline. And I have someone to edit, but we still need some more editing done. Mm-hmm. And I started a company, a publishing company, my own, it's called Bahama Oriole Publishing Company.
Okay.
Self-published? Yes, self-published.
Okay.
Yes.
Explain to people what is the difference between self-publishing and having a publisher. Explain the difference.
Man, I'm not I haven't learned this stuff in school or in university. It's just what I learned because I sat out to write a book.
Okay.
But what I realized that you can publish a book without having to go to someone to publish it for you. Mm-hmm. You can self-publish your work.
Okay.
And in self-publishing, what I've learned is that you more than likely would have to be, how can I say this? But I started my own publishing company. Mm-hmm. And I attached my publishing company and what have you, and I sent it off to be printed, and it came back. So I guess that gave me some copyright or some ownership.
Okay.
But I learned it all as I went along. Mm-hmm.
And so there's no real support group. There's no real...
No, there isn't.
Okay, so a young person wanting to become a writer, wanting to publish a book, wanting to get their story out of there, whatever it is, about whatever it is about, you're saying that there is no real clear way, there's no real clear avenue where somebody actually explains to them the business of it.
Right.
You see it all across the entertainment and orange industry all across the world. Even American artists are now saying, man, when I started doing this thing 30 years ago, no one told me nothing about owning no masters.
Right, right.
I came in, I dropped the song, it was hot, I made $1 million. Yes. As far as I knew, that was the end of it.
Right.
And so many of them today receive no royalties for songs that are absolutely amazingly timeless. And they've made all of the money that they could make because they agreed to drop the track for $2 million.
Right, right.
They get their $2 million, and Sony Records or whomever is making $1 billion 20 years later. And so we have to protect intellectual property. Not just protect it against that kind of stuff, exploitation of people, the importance of copyright infringements,
teach
how to go about copywriting, because a lot of people don't know. I'm not even sure I know the entire steps towards copywriting a piece of material. And in this new internet world where everything is a click and a share, you cannot maximize earning, right, if you don't charge people.
Right.
And if people could just...
And the right price.
But if you don't know how to protect yourself from it, right... It is a sidebar. For instance, I saw this week, you know, Miss Chantal O'Brien is the new hottest thing since cheese and bread meet one another, right? And I noticed that there are companies publishing the image and likeness of this person that is now world-renowned.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, while it may be a good gesture, and I do mean the fast food restaurant, while it is a wonderful gesture, I don't know if you have authorization to publish my image and likeness.
Yes, yes.
And you see these kinds of things all the time, right? Yes. Where people take random pictures of people, particularly at events. It happens to junkanooas all the time. And you see your picture on some come to the Bahamas poster, and you have no clue how your picture get there. So many people are caught up, though, on the fascination of, oh my God, I actually made the billboard.
Right.
That they don't realize that someone should pay you
for being there
to use your image and likeness.
Right,
because this thing is going to make money. It generates money.
That's right.
And as a consequence, you should be paid. All right. And so these are some of the conversations that want to get into the orange economy, that want to write books, that want to, I mean, model or promote or brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, and I think what I'm hearing you say, Miss Anymore, is that we ain't sure if nobody teaching us this kind of stuff. Like, you really got to go learn it on your own.
That's what I did.
Yeah. All right. So let's listen to a little bit of Joseph Spencer's music. Just in case you don't know who Joseph Spencer is, you know, plenty of y'all born after Atlantis, Bill. People who born after Atlantis, Bill, I don't even know what y'all is doing with your life. But this is Joseph Spencer's music. Listen to a little bit of it. Joseph Spence, is this, which one is this? Rolling Tide? Rolling Sea?
On the Rolling Sea.
On the Rolling Sea.
Yes.
Rolling sea when Jesus speak to me.
One rolling sea when he comes. One rolling sea when Jesus speak to me.
Cause I go with the man who don't want another, and then he got four when the proper rebels for taxes had saved, and now Tom the Jordan was a terrible game. The same be hell of a fist go away, he was unreal. Unrolling sea, Jesus speak to me. Unrolling sea, when he rolls.
Jesus speak to me. Unroll and see when he rolls. Unroll and see when Jesus speak to me. Go with the mess up one and another in the buffalo wind, the property bell for taxes had sailed from downtown the ocean, but a terrible gale to see me be held while I face the white wave was I roll and see when Jesus speak to me. And the roll and see when he roll. And the roll and see when Jesus speak to me. See me be here by the face, go white and niche, you're terror with a wonderful sight, and behold a great veil on the crease of the wave, and he swallowed the prophet, no man could say, but still. And roll and see him, Jesus speak to me. Food that probably bell for touch as a salesman of Tony Joshua, but a terrible gale to see my hell. And if it's good, why he was
So that is music by Joseph Spence, right? It's folklore music. I see you describe Joseph Spence as a brilliant folklore guitarist and gifted Bahamian. But what is more interesting about the author is you didn't study literature, English language. You didn't study philosophy. You didn't study any of those things. You actually are a Mahan trained in
engineering.
Yeah. Yes. What makes an engineer want to write?
I guess it's those inner desires and our childhood days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that I always wanted to write. The question is about what.
Mm.
I always wanted to invent something, but the question is about what. And I finally found something that impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
A simple person, like a lot of person would think or would say. To me, he's very fascinating, and he brought a lot of joy and a lot of wit, you know, smart and genius to the music world, and it's Joseph Spence.
We got to go to a break. Let's go to a break. 323-623-2354, 316-325-4259. I'm talking to Mr. Nemor, Mr. Dave Nemor. He's my guest. He's the author of The Legacy and Influence of Joseph Youngie Spence, A Unique Bahamian Story. We're talking about it as we promote the orange economy all throughout the month of December. Don't move. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I've got more show on the next side of the break.
Physical distancing is an important preventative measure in the fight against COVID-19. Respiratory droplets travel from one person to another through sneezing, coughing, laughing, or simply talking. The risk of becoming infected from those droplets is reduced by staying 6 feet away from other persons at all times. Even shaking hands and touching our face is not recommended because we frequently touch surfaces that may be contaminated. Practice physical distancing at the workplace by having virtual meetings or conference calls, or communicate via email. Eat at your desk instead of in the cafeteria. You can even work from home. We must each do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Hey, did you find the show interesting? Do you want to be a part of the conversation? Well, sponsor Unleashed today. Call 302-2304 or 302-2375 to see which package is right for you. Join Lavon Miller as he ignites the passion of the next generation by bridging the gap with engaging conversations and innovative ideas. Take action and sponsor Unleashed today to 304 or 302-2375 and be unleashed.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me, Lavon Miller. Yeah, it's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's interesting stuff.
Yes.
It literally wakes up by 15:40, 12 a.m. Mornings with Brother JJ. Yes. Literally, it all is coming back to me so clear right now. Dave Nimoy joins me this morning. He is the author of The Legacy and Influence of Joseph Young E. Spence, A Unique Bahamian Story. Again, tell us, what is your degree in? So I see here that you are a building service engineer who has trained in the United States, Scotland, Singapore, and graduated from Central Andrews High School, right? You've been to the Tuskegee University, you've been to Harriet Watt University, Edinburgh, Scotland, and Singapore Polytechnic. Is that university?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you had a dream to write. But you sound like you want to draw stuff and build stuff and you know, pitch roof and learn how to build an attic and how to build a basement and how to do auger pile drilling possibly and maybe even sheet piling. These sounds like the kind of things. How did you get put in pen? How did you become inspired by a Joseph Spence? Was this like soothe music for you?
I don't know. Maybe I might be schizophrenic. I don't know.
Okay.
And I think all of us have a little schizophrenia.
Oh, yeah.
In us. That engineering side is something I love working with my hands. I love the idea of being able to solve a Pythagoras equation theorem.
Yeah, you're the kind of people I hated in school, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't really, I don't understand what I need Pythagoras theorem for.
Yeah.
Yeah, but go on.
Yeah, but I do. And I love building houses.
Sure.
I love building any kinds of structure imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to do with marine engineering or what have you, I'm fascinated by it.
Okay.
And I love it. But I'm also an expressive person, and I realize probably I got it from my mother's side. Mm-hmm. You know, she loved to write, mm-hmm. even though she never became a prolific writer or mm-hmm. she never inspired anything. And there's a part of me that always, you know, sought out to know more and to know more about certain people. And I think in many regards, Joseph Spence's life, or I'm reminded of, well, our lives are somewhat the same, I think. You know, being common persons from the island, from Andros, mm-hmm. we have some certain commonalities together. And, mm-hmm. and Joseph Spence's life reminds me of mine mm-hmm. in many regards. You know, coming from Andros, you know, life in Andros was kind of hard, difficult. You know, sometimes you have to hustle for food, mm-hmm. What have you. And I think Joseph Spence did that most of his life, if not all of his life. Mm-hmm. Of the majority of his life,
he right.
hustled.
I see there's some part in here about him having to go and become a security officer.
Yes, yes.
In the twilight of his years, which
yes.
means as good as great a musician as you claim
as
him
he
to
was.
Be.
Yes,
it's interesting that yes. people that find themselves in the orange economy typically either find themselves dying broke or having
yes.
to work into
yes.
their old age, because as talented as they are, as good as they are, somehow
right,
it just
right,
it doesn't translate
right.
into finance.
Right, right, and. Unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, I think in the Bahamas, like it is in many parts of the world, either you're born into it mm-hmm. or you have to somewhat be creative enough, genius enough to, you know, to get it, mm-hmm. you know, to acquire it, the wealth. Mm-hmm. Some people get it, you know, on the backs of other people. They, you know, push other people down in order to rise. And some of us just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're satisfied with what it is we do. And we don't go to the, you know, to either left or the right extremes to, you know, to do anything unbecoming. And that's what Joseph Spence did. He loved what he
self-taught? Did. Was he self-taught?
Yeah. But nevertheless, his father was a Baptist preacher.
Okay.
He had brothers, he had uncles who were also musicians. So he was not void of
right.
music.
He had a music air.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. yeah. And not that, he had a musical environment. Mm-hmm. You know, in which he...
Most people that grow up in black church could play an instrument.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
black church is the breeding ground for musicians, in case you don't know that.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I kind of know that. And in 1910, that's what they did.
Yeah, black churches breed musicians.
Yeah.
I want to just say a shout out to Ambassador Devin Rule, because I have to admit, every time I go to his church, I'm fascinated that every young person in this church plays
wow.
an instrument.
Wow.
That is where I see it most alive.
Yes,
like
yes.
when I go, it's KDC, Kingdom Discipleship Center. And almost all of the children, like the baby on the breast, plays the piano or the drums or the guitar. And that is exactly what black churches do. I mean, black churches aren't happy that they are breeding the musicians for the nightclub, right? But that's kind of where the air for music comes from, the acclamation for
absolutely.
Music and the appreciation for
all
notes
of them.
And some of the black church.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah.
James Brown.
Do you play?
I sing.
Oh, you sing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this story is just going all over the place. So you are a building engineer who likes to write books and sing in his off time.
I love to sing.
Oh yeah. Why did you not gravitate toward the guitar if your fascination is with the guitarist?
Well, I wanted to become a singer. Mm-hmm. Earlier in my career.
That was the 80s thing. Most people that grew up in the 80s wanted to sing.
Yeah.
I remember my daddy used to be a part of this group called the Golden Light Gospel Singers, right?
Wow.
And there was a guy, you may know him, he's from South Andros, his name is Barry Rule. He's the brother of Elijah Rule, or Isaac Rule. Barry, is it Barry, Elijah, and Isaac? I think that's the names. And I remember Barry came from South Andros Boy. Yes, the Andros Boy.
Yeah.
Man and the boy could sing like Florence Nightingale.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
yeah. And I remember they would have these concerts at the Joe Farrington Auditorium. And this was right around the time that the cordless mic had just come out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So imagine my daddy and them, they would be in these very sparkly outfits, right? They did this Golden Light Gospel Singers concert. Out comes out of the back room, Barry. Oh, there was a woman that you did in the back.
Wow.
And so it's fascinating because we don't see that kind of musical culture around here anymore.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know if people are a group of men, four or five men, were like a band of some sort.
Yes, yes.
The Gospel
yes,
Flashlights,
yes.
Golden Light Gospel Singers.
Yes,
what was Dwight Doe's group? The Gospel Impressions. Those were the boys of Andros.
Yeah.
Then you had the Andros, Sons of Andros. And
yes, 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 yes,
the joy.
Absolutely, yes,
And so that music culture was a big
mind
thing.
Mind you, I grew up in a group too, you know. It was actually myself, Billy Clare, Charles Clare, Dawn Clare, Dion Sweeting.
Right.
We all grew up singing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere we went, we sang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the most part, I think I did the lead and, you know, Billy was the backup with that beautiful melodious voice, mm-hmm. you know, and Dion on the guitar.
So he was like your old Barry Roll.
He was good.
Billy Barry Clare, could sing,
yeah,
boy.
Yeah, Billy Clare was definitely a very good singer.
Somebody wants to talk to us. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, Collie, you're on. Collie, you're on. Hey, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's
How
up?
Doing, buddy?
I'm fine, thanks.
Hey, good man. Just Tony here, man. Listen, tell him that you also a long distance runner, man.
Tony, how are you doing?
Man, so good to hear you, and congratulations to you on your achievement starting to come out of you.
Yes.
It was good. Where can you get a copy of the book? I know my Fred Ferguson, he's a very fond of him.
Absolutely. We did a collaboration a few months ago. Okay. I don't know if you saw the documentary on Joseph Spence.
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right. But he's fascinated in many ways. I mean, he plays the guitar. I don't play the guitar, but I just love the idea of Joseph Spence. I think I fell in love with Joseph Spence, and I love talking about him. Mm-hmm. He's a great example.
Is the book on Amazon? Is it?
No, it's actually a printed copy.
No, you have to call me. That's one of the reasons why I didn't, because I understand that people, you know, steal the ideas, you know, infringement, copyright infringement, etc. So call me at 424. You can get a copy.
Okay, my brother. Nice. Thank you, man.
Yeah,
the number,
Tony,
422-6144.
Yes.
All right, that's how you get your hand on a hard book. Well, this is not hardback, but this is a softback. Softback copy of the Legacy and Influence of Joseph Youngie Spence. Why Youngie? Does your book tell us why his nickname was Youngie?
I think so. I think somewhere on page probably 6 or 7, he acquired that name as a young boy.
Yeah.
And I think he was the youngest of four or five children.
Yeah.
And that name followed him, you know, everywhere he went.
I guess, because the oldest son is naturally Bala. Yeah. Bala is the oldest boy.
Right. And you'll notice I have Bala in the book, right?
Yeah, Bala is the oldest boy. Yes, yes. And then the one who named after daddy named Junior.
Yeah.
And Bala and Junior ain't necessarily the same person, but they could be the same person.
Yeah, they can be.
Right. So Bala and Junior might be the same person, but they could also be different.
Different.
The oldest son could not name after daddy. He can name Bala, and then daddy got another son. We can name the one Junior.
Yes.
Okay. And then if you have a son, we just give him nickname. If you name him Livingston, he can name Winky. And then, you know, stuff like that. That's kind of how we do it on these families.
Davy Crockett.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it goes. All right. Yeah. So, okay. How many more books do you think you have left in you? Do you think you're going to do more writing? Are you going to be inspired? Or are you inspired by anybody else to the point that you want to write?
Well, somebody gave me an idea a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And they asked me the very same question. Why Joseph Spence? Why limit your ability to just Joseph Spence? Mm-hmm. I said, because I'm fascinated. He said, yeah, but it's so limited. And then the person said, Joseph Spence, isn't he a national hero? I said, yes. Okay, so talk about national heroes. Mm-hmm. So the next edition of that book you'll see Bohemian National Heroes.
Okay.
Coloring book series.
Okay. So your next book is possibly going to be a coloring book?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're going to put the faces and images of people that have all...
Heroes.
Along the line of music?
No. It's actually 9 areas.
Okay.
It's music or entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's civic. It's government.
Okay.
It's sports and culture.
Right. Religious.
It's women, suffrage. Mm. It's about 9 areas. Which constitute 9 times, I think, it's about 51 persons altogether.
Okay.
Altogether. Who are actually been deemed Bohemian National Hero by the government.
Really?
Who have been singled out, yes. Hmm. And the 4 of them in entertainment, I started with entertainment first, is actually Paul Mez, Joseph Spence, Ronnie Butler, and Penis Taylor.
I see those people, I see some of those faces in this book.
Yes.
You talk about Gino D, about Ronnie. I think I see
all of them are in there.
So all of these people were mentioned in this first book. Yes. And now the second book is going to be a coloring book. And are you going to then come out and do a written book to add to the coloring book like you did with this first one?
No. All I'll be doing is I'll be doing the coloring book of each. The first four persons in the entertainment, mm-hmm. I'll be doing them. And then each of them will have a storybook.
Okay.
That's the idea.
When exactly are you planning to do this? When is this project set for? Because you publish, right? It's a matter of writing it now.
It's ongoing. I mean, it's an extensive project because if you think about 51 persons, mm-hmm. all of these characters, all of them have to be, you know, sketched. Mm-hmm. All the work has to be, you know, graphic design.
Are you into sketching?
Name is Earl Bethel.
Earl Bethel.
A very good friend. I wouldn't take his credit because I can't.
You're like me. I can't draw anything.
Yeah, I can draw, but not to the extent that he can. No, okay. No, I can draw.
No, I can't draw.
I can do most things. I can do most things.
I'm so terrible at drawing. My art teacher went to the principal to have me removed from his class. It was terrible. I couldn't draw a box. I couldn't draw a box. It was ridiculous. Yeah, no, I don't draw very well.
So how did you develop? I mean, because obviously your orientation is a little bit off or something.
I don't know how it happened.
Your thought processes.
Yeah, no, I can't draw.
Wow, that's
not
that's
at all. I'm
strange.
Musically inclined.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
for a very short period, I played the bass guitar. I speak two languages. I sing very well in the shower.
Okay.
All right. Right. Okay. So I don't know if it is the presence of the shower or the absence of my clothes that makes my voice sound so good. But I do know that I sound really good in the shower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like most people do.
Yeah. And I think that's where my superpower will stop. And I write. I write. But only about things that I'm inspired about. So
maybe it's because the right side of your brain is very active. Mm. I think the right side is more mathematical, right?
I guess. I play two instruments, but yeah. I don't really know if I could count myself as being a bass player anymore. I haven't touched one in about 15 years. The bass, I played the drum sets. I played snare drums, which is an entirely different thing. And
you seem to be using both sides of your brain. Yeah. I don't see why you can't draw.
I have a basic aptitude for the application of Spanish. Basic.
Okay.
But yeah, outside of that, I don't know. But
okay.
So people that publish, right? How difficult it is for people that do not how much resources does it take to go into being a publisher though? Is that something that is? I mean, is it cost effective in this new world with ebooks and Amazon and all this other stuff? How cost intensive is publishing?
Well, the initial cost I had to finance myself.
Okay,
you know, nobody helps me. Nobody. So everything you see is what I invested in. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get my work on Ingram Sparks, but I'm still trying to. Amazon, as opposed to having to purchase it in hard copy, you can actually purchase it electronically.
Okay.
So I'm in the process of getting that done. So that makes it a little more economical.
Okay.
But to get it into hard copy is somewhat costly.
Okay.
And not to be sponsored by a publisher.
Right.
That means that all of the work I have to do myself.
Mm.
And sometimes...
What about getting it proofread? Like, is that also a challenge? Like, having proofers, etc.?
Yeah, that's... Good persons to really take the time to, you know, critique your work, to edit your work, and to make the kind of corrections. Because right now, in this first copy, I have some of these.
Okay. All right. So, I think I hear my music. That means I'm going to a break. Let's go to a break. I'm Levin Miller. I'm here with the author of The Legacy Influence, of Joseph Young E. Spence, a unique Bahamian story. I'm doing Orange Economy stuff. I tired talking about politics. So we doing Orange Economy stuff for the rest of December, all right? Don't go anywhere. I'm taking a short break and we'll be right back.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
See something? Say something. Call Crime Stoppers Bahamas in Nassau, 328-8477. That's 328-TIPS. Or from the Family Islands, 242-300-8477. That's 242-300-TIPS. Be safe and happy holidays, Bahamas, from the directors of...
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio. That means I'm unleashed on your radio, and then that means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock, all right? So I'm in studio. I'm live in studio. I think I may have some outside the studio stuff to do tomorrow. I don't know. Let's see how that works out. And I'm here with Dave Nemore, right? Is that South Andres Nemore?
Fresh Creek
Nemore.
Yeah, you've been getting me wrong all morning, man.
Yeah, what I keep saying?
You said La Ville.
You went to school in Love Hill.
I went to school in Love Hill.
Right. Yeah. I know I read that. I know I read Love Hill somewhere.
In Love Hill, yeah.
So this one here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Great show. Where can I get a copy of Joseph Spencer's music? You can find it online, or you could call Dave here, and he may be able to help you. Dave, give them your number so that they can find you either for publishing purposes. Because would you, if there was a writer that came to you?
Of course I will.
Okay, so you may have a book out there that needs publishing. Yeah. Dave is here. Dave could help you publish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Let's get your number out there so people can find you.
422-6144.
422-6144. They're going to say that you say the number too fast, so say it again.
422-6144.
Mm-hmm. 422-6144. I say it and Dave say it.
Right.
So you have to have it by now. Do you have like an email address or something that they can reach you on?
Yes, dnemore1, that's the number one, at gmail.com.
dnemore1@gmail.com,
the number one.
Yeah, you can't mess that up. Dnemore, that's Delta Nemore,
yeah.
1,
right,
at gmail.com. Now, yes. Please don't type in Delta. Delta as in the phonetic alphabet.
That's complicated.
Yeah. Dnemore, not to be
confused. D as in dog.
Yeah. Yes. This one here says... Good, Miller, good show. What two languages do you speak? I speak English and Creole. I actually went to school to learn Creole. And I am trying to make sure that I have bilingual children as well. That's actually my goal. I want to have children that speak two languages, play two instruments, and play two sports.
Wow.
And then I don't care if they go to college or not.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Somebody should be able to pick them up.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when are we going to look forward to more work from you, Nemo?
Maybe.
Anything in 2022? Because we did end of 21.
Yeah, maybe in the middle of this month.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Something should be on the market.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have like a... Where exactly do you distribute? I mean, or do you also self-distribute?
Self-distribute. That should be anywhere.
Okay.
I don't have a warehouse. I don't have...
Are you looking into that with the turn of the new year?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
What is that like for people who, like yourself, are writing their own material, publishing their own material, I mean, do you ever wish or hope, or are you in talks with anybody about maybe you store my stuff here, and as they sell, I get a 10% or 20%, or is there something like that?
I'm always in the willing to negotiate. I'm always willing to partner, to share, and you know, co-edit or whatever.
Okay,
I have no issues with that.
Okay,
yeah, and anything that would alleviate cost. Mm-hmm. And what have you.
And of course, increase accessibility because doesn't matter how good the book is, if no one could find it, then it's kind of difficult to get it sold.
Absolutely.
What exactly is it from cover to cover for the single printout of a book?
Oh, that book?
Yeah.
That book was printed in the United States. Because I got 25 copies for editing purpose,
mm-hmm.
it cost me somewhere around about between $8 to $10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what do they retail for?
$25.
This text right here says, Levin, ask your guest about how going off to school changed life. I don't think we're going to have time to even answer that in the last 2 minutes, but it's 2 minutes. So how did going off over the place to school? He been to Singapore. He been to America. Where else he been? Because it was Tuskegee.
I grew up on the Isle of Andros.
Scotland.
For me, I love to travel, but my parents never had the money, so...
Mm-hmm.
I got academically.
Okay.
And my life's changed because, you know, it exposed me to different cultures, to different people, to different environments, what have you. You know, kept me from a lot of things, kept me focused, kept me out of a lot of things as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
And it gave me a good future.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So there you have it. We're out of time. David Nemo. Dave Nemo has been my guest this morning. I'm so happy to have had him. As we discuss his book, Legacy and Influence of Joseph Youngie Spencer. And you, I see you say in the book that you kind of want all high school students to be able to have an opportunity to read
that's my
your
goal.
Book.
Yes,
so
yes.
Who knows? Maybe after we have completed the second book and maybe do whatever it is necessary with this book, we could figure out a way to get it to the high school students. All right. So tell people how to find it.
Okay, my number is 4226144 and my email is dnemo1@gmail.com.
All right, that's all. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. They're your station for fresh news and smart talk. I know you know, the world knows. They do it all day, so don't move. They've got the new...